second thought. Mm-hmm. Should we critique classic shows with modern lenses?
Ooh. I don't think so. If I think about shows like All in the Family, The Jeffersons.
You know how many TVs will be broken right now? Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Harold. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Random Thoughts episode 20. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
You know, when you said All in the Family and The Jeffersons, all I could think about was Blazing Saddles. And yeah. Welcome our new...
The Sheriff is our...
That is how wild TV was and movies were back then, right? Mm-hmm. And we're bringing this up because Ari Lennox, singer Ari Lennox.
Sinner?
I sure did. I love Ari Lennox too, man. That's the funny thing. I'm just like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you a sinner. But she stirred up some controversy when it came to 90s. So this is even later than all of that. Sitcom with Martin. She said she never liked how Martin treated Pam on the show. And this is what she had to say about it.
The only thing that pissed me off about Martin was how much he would go on Pam. I'm not like too woke or something is what I'm trying to say. Like I'm honestly not, I'm problematic. I'm pretty problematic, low-key, but like Pam was so fucking beautiful and so fine. And I just feel like growing up as a chocolate girl, like, I don't even know if I was able to understand the greatness of Pam because of the light that I feel like I was being fed.
Ooh, that's a lot to say, especially to say the light that I was being fed. That says a lot, right?
That does say a whole lot. I don't understand where she's getting that from, because where's your sympathy for Tommy? He got picked on. Cole got picked on. All of them got picked on.
But that's because Tommy ain't had no job. So he's saying broke brothers didn't deserve sympathy too?
All I'm saying is Martin picked on everybody.
Yeah.
He didn't only pick on Pam. And he even picked on Gina sometimes. But to make this some type of colorism thing, I think is a stretch, is a reach.
It could be a reach, right? But okay, here's the thing. Considering the time that it was, and here's why I understand what she's saying. I saw this then. Right? Because if you look at Pam and you look at Gina, Pam fine. Looks, body, everything. Gina, all right. Right? And there's some people who, it's funny, we had this discussion in the office, like, no, they were both attractive. Yes, I'm not saying that Gina was unattractive. Right?
Right.
I'm just saying Pam was the fine one.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make Pam, and this goes beyond the characters, he didn't make Tashina Arnold his lead. He made the light-skinned woman his lead. And I'm just saying, back in the 90s, you know that light, bright, damn near white was always right. I'm just saying, it's one of those things that has been going on in the Black community for a long time.
But that's a huge assumption, because what you're assuming is that Pam's character, whoever, I forget her name.
Tashina Arnold.
Tashina Arnold, thank you. Mm-hmm. I went blank. You're assuming that Tashina Arnold read to be the lead, and
I didn't assume that
Tisha Campbell read to be the lead, and he just went with the light skinned girl. What if Tisha Campbell was better?
Or what if the lead said light skinned woman? You don't know. So if we're just going to throw random assumptions, because I did not say that, I did not assume that she read for it. I said, and this was back then. I noticed that the lead, just like I noticed when I look at the hip hop videos, the only people that have the dark skinned women in their videos are white men. Not the brothers.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
Gin and Juice video, Snoop Dogg video, they had dark skinned women in them.
Sure.
A lot of folks did. Luke had dark skinned women in his videos. Hammer had dark skinned. 357.
By the way, you're going, here's the interesting part of what you just did, right? Because you went all the way back to 80s and very early 90s. When I said Robin Thicke is in the 2000s, but go ahead.
I didn't hear you say Robin Thicke. I don't listen to you when you talk sometimes.
I know. Whenever a color comes up, you seem to black out. The point of that,
yeah.
The thing that a lot of people are making is the fact that they're saying it was just comedy. And the fact that Pam and Martin went at each other. As characters, they went at each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
She would get him on lots of jokes too. So again, I get to see and understand both sides when it comes to that, because you're right, there are just jokes. And the jokes of the 90s,
right,
in today's world, in living color, people would be boycotting. So it's not like he ever called her out of character because of her skin color.
But right.
I understand where she's coming from.
I understand where she would make that assumption, mm-hmm, but there's no fact in what she's saying. She felt watching it that he only picked on the dark skinned girl, and as she's a dark chocolate sister.
She didn't say only, and that's another assumption. She didn't say only.
She's mainly focused on Pam. She didn't bring up anyone else.
Yeah, that's what she relates
focused
to.
On Pam. Right, so she didn't talk about anybody else. So we're, mm-hmm, only talking about Pam.
Yeah.
Right? Only. So she's only talking about Pam in this. And to make that comment about, you know, as someone growing up that was, you know, dark skinned, I don't think you can make that assumption. And if she felt some type of way, that's on her.
But
that's not on Mark.
Literally what she said, that she felt that way. And I think a lot of it, when people bring it to just the show itself, I think that's where the issue comes in, because it's not just about the show. She's talking about the show and saying hey, this is what I didn't like about it. Hey, the same reason. I didn't like Family Matters because of the way they made the man of the house look. And I actually did my senior thesis on the evolution of the black man on television. So I have a reason for hating Family Matters. And most people go, oh, no, it was just comedy. Cool. I get it. And I'm not trying to change your mind in that. So for her saying this is why she didn't like it, she didn't tell everybody else don't like it. And that's why I think people attacking her for that is wrong. This is her opinion. And you, of all people who say everybody should have their opinion, should be cheering her on for that.
No, she can have her opinion. I just don't agree with it. That's the whole point. We can see, you can be like, the 49ers are the best team ever.
They are. Say, well, go ahead.
I don't agree. That's your opinion. But there's no data or stat to say they are the best team ever.
They are.
But, well, they don't have the most rings. So what are you determining them as the best team ever?
But because I like them.
She can have her opinion, and I'm okay with being able to disagree with it, just like a lot of the people on Twitter that didn't agree with what she had to say.
Yeah, it's interesting that it sparks such a debate, but it's good to have that. And I think when we get to the part of understanding, it wasn't just about the character. It wasn't just about the skin color. And I think that's where it gets lost in it. Like, oh, she's only doing this. Oh, he joked on everybody. Mm-hmm. Hell, I didn't like when he always dressed up as a woman, but that's a whole nother story. We're not going to go off on that one. But just jokes or foul?
Yeah. I think it's just jokes, because you also got to factor in that Tashina Arnold knew the jokes were coming her way.
Mm-hmm.
And she signed that contract every year.
Mm-hmm.
She knew it. If you look at Married with Children, Al Bundy they'd always have a large woman that he would make fun of at some point.
Yeah,
that was her role. We need a big girl to come in here so he can pick on you. Mm-hmm. You good? Here's the check. So if Tashina Arnold was good with it,
right?
To me, Ari should be good with it.
And that's the thing. That's the opinion I really want to hear. Like, but what does she say in that case? And do you come out and just say it was all good? Because or do you stay silent?
I stay silent.
Smart move. Yes. You would tell us, don't say nothing.
Yeah, ignore that. Just let it go. Move on.
And what if you do an interview and somebody asks you about it? What do you do?
Just say, what are you talking about? I'm not familiar with that story. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have a response to that. I'm not familiar with what this person's talking about.
This man is good.
You said who?
Ari? I love her music.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hilarious. Hey, appreciate you guys checking out the show. We got a lot to get to, including this Council on Sports. But first of all, for those of you watching the show first, thank you. Thank you. Regulars. Remember, you two can become a regular for less than $3 a month. And everybody else watching this a day later, we still appreciate you. Thank you very much. Do us a favor. Hit that like button. Okay. Every like counts and every subscription counts. So please subscribe if you're not subscribed and hit the bell for notifications because we got more shows coming up. Real fast, real quick, even though some of them are real slow. I heard you started looking at Ready to Love. How you feeling?
Ugh. Okay. It's bad. It's bad. Meet the X's episode. I can't wait to talk about that.
Okay, good. Well, you talking about bad. This is terrible. Mm-hmm. Or in the words of Charles Barkley, terrible.
Terrible.
And this is, when I saw this article, I was like, huh? And because the headline of the article was, daycare owner takes her kids in the store, leaves five others in the car. I went, wait, what? How is this? This is wild. Happened here in Houston. Is there anything that she can say to justify taking her kids in and leaving five other kids that were in her care? Because she has a home daycare that she runs. She had them with her. And leaving them in the car.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's nothing she can say. And I was looking at the story. I'm like, what's the person's name? I'm like, please don't let it be us. Please don't let it be us. And I'm like, Dominic, dang it. One of us. It's ridiculous, I'll be honest,
when it said children were found in distress, red-faced and crying, I was like, red-faced? Okay, not one of us. And then you just, yeah, so.
Yeah, the kids weren't. The lady was. But I'm just thinking to myself, okay, let's just say you need to make a food run at HEB. There's curbside. Mm-hmm. You could have sat in the car with the kids with the air conditioner on. Curbside, come get. There's no reason for her to have done that. And then to take your own two kids with you inside to the air condition and leave these five little white babies in the car to turn red and crying. That's evil. That's just evil.
Here's what I'm trying to understand. What is the mindset? Because obviously the car wasn't left running. And even if the car was left running, and is it not left running because I don't want any of the kids getting behind the wheel and accidentally taking off with the car. What was the thought process here?
Even as a kid that grew up in the late 70s, early 80s, my mom never left us in the car. She did crack the window, but we weren't in the car for 45 minutes. You know,
she cracked the window. Yeah, hey, your mom is listening to this right now, like, hey, take it back.
Yeah, at least the window was down, like, we were fine. But she would never have left us in the car for 45 minutes while she shopped. Never would have happened. She might have ran into Sally's, grabbed something, walked out or something like that.
Right.
But 5-10 minutes max. But I just don't understand what her thought process was. And I think this hopefully is a good story for people to really vet out your daycare folks that you're going to have watching your kids. Like, you got to really vet those folks out just to see if they're on the up and up. Because something tells me there's probably a lot of, if we were to go look at her facility, I'm sure there's a lot of red flags.
You may be surprised. And it's scary as a parent to think that you leave your child in somebody's care. She's had this daycare for over 3 years. You can't run it without having certification, gone through passing inspection and all this other stuff. You can't have it and you can't keep it for over 3 years like that, right? So this is somebody you trusted with your kids. And here's the worst part. When you read the story and you see the car windows were barely cracked, the car was not running. It's Houston, Texas in August. Now, Houston, Texas in March is hot. August?
It's 97 degrees, which, you know, it felt probably closer to 102.
102, my ass. Let me explain something to you. My car at work is in a garage, right?
Mm-hmm.
I drove out one day when it was supposedly 96, 95 degrees. My car was like 105. Take me back. I wasn't even out there 5 minutes. I barely got into the second light. And I'm like, yo, this can't be real what I'm reading on my car. So I don't understand the mentality. And right now she's facing what? 5 counts of child endangerment, right? Let out on $10,000 bond for each child. So that's $50,000 bond.
$50,000.
It's what's the justification? Does she even keep her kids after this?
Well, that's up to CPS because is their dad involved? You know, and I think if you're running a daycare, aren't you supposed to be able to have some type of help? Because you can't just have one person and there's 10, 12 kids running around.
Right. No, it's because even one person and 7 kids, that's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And so if she's doing a home daycare, I'm just wondering, is it like she could have the legit certifications and all that, but is it one of those, you know, kind of around the way type daycares? Like, hey, go to Dominique's. She, you know, she can watch your kids for you. Da-da-da, you know what I mean? Compared to like your structured daycares that people send their kids to on a daily basis.
Yeah, man, this was a tough one to hear and read. As a parent, these are the things you worry about. This is the reason why when you see parents having nanny cams, you understand why. Because there is no possible way to just trust people. Think about, and does this make it sound crazier when we were young, when they would hire, you know, young teenagers to babysit the baby so they could go for a night out, for parents' night out? Now are you really going, did my parents even care about me? Because this is somebody who was certified to do this.
I babysat a couple kids a few times, and I think God I was probably 13, 14. You know, but the parents only gone for like 3 hours or so. Right. So we said, eat whatever, let them watch whatever till the parents get there.
Right.
Piece of cake.
Yeah, lucky you. I spent my teenage years raising my brothers and sisters, so that was fun. Because they would leave in the morning and come back at night. And I'm like, wait, where'd y'all go?
Yeah.
Oh, we knew y'all would be good. I knew there was a reason why you taught me how to cook and clean. Oh, man, I'm just going to say this. Vet. Check every reference. You know that I'm hiring people.
Yeah.
Because there are times I've seen references that I have because I know that person's going to say something good. Or do you check every last one just to be sure?
No, I don't check references when hiring people.
Why?
But because you're not going to give, they're not going to give you a reference to somebody that's going to say anything bad about you.
That's
so what's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so what's the point of reason? They're all going to be, oh, Yanni's awesome. He,
he
saved my, you know, bag of puppies from drowning, and he's done this.
You'd know that was a lie. But
yeah. It's just like, okay. No one's gonna say anything. But I do think that you got to look at, when you're vetting that those daycares, you got to look at anything that could be on the Better Business Bureau, anything on any social media platform.
Yeah.
Maybe if someone commented on her social media form, ping that person. Hey, you got a minute? I see that you used to take your daughter or son to XYZ daycare. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about it too. Can I talk to you about it? I have some questions.
Right.
And really just dig in and start to ask some stuff.
Now, you also have to take that information with a grain of salt, depending on the source too, right?
Okay. Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, because if it's, the source is like, it's her cousin.
I mean, there could be somebody bitter who hadn't paid their bill.
Yeah, like, yeah. I'm just saying, it's her cousin that's telling you all this stuff. It's like, I need to talk to someone else.
Yeah. You know, you look and see all the things that are happening with the president. Mm-hmm. From the Daily Show saying he's about to run out of black people to attack. To him going, well, let me show you. I got one more attack in Charlemagne.
That was hilarious.
To now bring him back to Council on Sports. Because, you know, he's the most fit president ever. Are we about to tell some folks to shut up and sack? shut up and throw and shut up and kick, because the NFL, what is going on with the NFL and the White House?
This is one of those where I'm like, Doge needs to explore, like, do we need this council in sports? Is this something that we really need right now?
Right.
If you think about tariffs, you think about employment numbers,
the price
job numbers aren't coming up. Eggs are still super high. Do we need a council on sports right now? But if you got to get it, mm-hmm. looking at the people that he picked, I can see why some people might try to argue, shut up and dribble, shut up and score, shut up and play ball. But he went and got some of the people that are totally Trump supporters.
Right.
Right. Nick Bosa, we know that.
Yeah, Nick Bosa has been on the right. Look, going into a very left-leaning city like San Francisco, trust me, all the fans knew about his Twitter feed in college immediately after he was drafted.
Yeah, and then you have Harrison Butker from the Chiefs.
Oh, my God.
He was the one at BYU or one of those Mormon schools that he gave the commencement speech and was pretty much like, women, like, y'all shouldn't go get jobs. You should be at home. This is what God wants for you.
Take your degree and go to the kitchen and cook us something to eat.
And one that shocked me was Tua Tagovailoa. I'm like, Tua?
Show me the money.
Yeah, what are you doing? But for Lawrence Taylor.
After him doing the show me the money, I'm not surprised about Tua. But yeah, you're right. Lawrence Taylor, what was going on here?
Yeah, so Lawrence Taylor, President Trump brings him up to actually speak. And it's what he said. He's like, I'm proud to be on this team. I don't know what we're supposed to be doing, but I'm here to serve. And he looks at Trump and says, I'm here to serve you. And I'm going to do the best I can for as long as I can. I don't get that.
See, he didn't know what was going on.
He didn't know he was a shell pony.
As mad as I want to be at Lawrence Taylor, I have to applaud him for his honesty in that moment. Why? Because had he gone up there and said something coherent, and like, this is the greatest thing a president has ever done, we'd all looked at him side-eye. Him doing this, let us know. Blink twice, Lawrence.
Yeah.
LT, if you are okay, blink twice.
You're in the sunken place. You're in the sunken place, LT.
I think that was him throwing that out. Like, I don't want to do this, but I'm being forced to.
Well, but my whole thing is, what's the purpose of this group? And then you're going to... The fact that he just said yes and has no idea what he's being asked to do.
Right.
He's just like, yes, I'll do that. That's just surprising to me.
Okay, but is it? Because it is the president of the United States, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about the whole thing with Charlamagne. There are people who are just like, yo, the president just addressed you. Even though he was like, man, he goes after everybody. They're like, yes. But it's the president of the United States, right? So if the president were to call you, Terrell, and say, mm-hmm. hey, I would like for you to be on my council on sports.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be LT and go there and speak incoherently? Would you be Triple H, who, of course, his mother-in-law is part of the cabinet? Or would you be Saquon Barkley, who's like, nah, I'm good?
I'd be like Saquon. Nah, I'm good. Because I can't do that. My moral compass won't let me do it. But here's what's I'll use your analogy a little bit and mix it up a little bit, of course.
Of course.
If the president calls you and says, hey, Yanni, I need you to come to the White House. Mm-hmm. Are you just going to go? Or are you going to ask why?
Now, you know, normally I don't answer hypothetical questions.
I know that.
Now, is it a phone call being asked or is there somebody with an earpiece at my door asking? Because there's a difference. Yeah,
there's a difference. Even if someone with an earpiece is like, hey, Yanni, I'm with the president. You need to come with me. You're still going to ask why. You're not going to be like, okay.
Okay.
Man. I guess, man.
No, actually, the first thing I would say, I'm a citizen.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, no.
I speak funny.
You from St. Kitts. No.
I know I speak funny, but I can vote. Legally.
Yeah. But I mean, I wouldn't just blindly go. You'd ask some questions, right?
Yeah.
So for LT, he just didn't get asked at this press conference. Like, he didn't know, he knew what he was there for. Mm-hmm. They asked him, he'd say yes, and then they got to get up and do the dog and pony show. Mm-hmm. And then for him to get up and be like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Maybe he didn't expect to speak. And, you know, because here's the thing. One of the things, Trump is very off the cuff. He doesn't follow the script. So at any given time, and you can tell if he's reading the script, you can tell when he gets off the script, because then he just flows, right? And he could have just said, LT, come in here and tell him some stuff. And he's like, what the? I told them I wasn't going to.
But the way LT did it, to say, and I quote, I don't know what we're supposed to be doing, but I'm here to serve. So that means he doesn't live in the White House. Right. He had to have gone there. Uh-huh. He had to either book the flight, got a car, got an Uber or Waymo, and got to the White House. And the president and these other athletes, they probably had some type of meeting. And then they do the dog and pony show. So you're telling me throughout all that, he has no idea what he's supposed to be doing. And if that's the case, that's ridiculous. Why'd you say yes to being on the council if you have no idea what you're going
to
be?
Because the president asked him to be part of the council. He's like, okay, yeah, sure. It's on sports. Cool. I'll do it. All right. Now speak. About what? So does an appearance like this, though, hurt LT's legacy?
No, his legacy is his legacy. I mean, that's football.
Yeah.
Right. You know, he's never been a good politician. And I mean, that's not his world.
Right.
Is this one of those where you're just like, huh? Why would you do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, would I question LT to his face about this? No. I used to watch that man knock people's head up. I'm not going to say nothing to him. I'm like, hey, really glad you're on the council. You're going to do some great things.
Go tackle it right now.
Yeah. Can you tell me what any of those things are? I don't want any trouble. I just want to know if you know now, what are some things that you're going to do?
Now, and last thing I want to ask about this, because there are a lot of, like, take for instance, people say in the locker room, there are a lot more people that think the way that you're upset about than are not. And I'm not surprised, because there are millionaires in there, right? So everybody wants their tax cuts. But should we hold it against our favorite athletes or players on our favorite teams because of their political affiliations and they don't align with yours?
I don't think so at all. You have the right to feel what you want to feel about it, but I watch you to play sports. That's all I care about. I don't care what you... Now, I don't want you putting your beliefs in my face.
Right.
You know, because you're an athlete. I don't like that. But just like I don't care about the person that making my coffee at Starbucks, if they're nice to their mom or if they, you know, buy their girlfriend flowers or are they good dads? I don't care. Mm-hmm. Just give me my coffee and I'm out. Here's my $3.52. Appreciate it. So I think the same for athletes and entertainers. I'm just watching you for what you... Now, when you do something that's heinous... like R. Kelly's and those of the like, yeah, then I totally got to judge you.
I'm just going to say what you said just now sounds like shut up and dribble, because that's the same argument people use against Colin Kaepernick for kneeling.
I didn't say shut up. All I said is I don't want you putting your stuff in my face.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the thing. If you're doing that, that's annoying to me. I just want to watch the game. But if that's all you're doing, it's kind of like when Tebow, right? Everybody just got annoyed with the Tebow, the kneeling, the praying. And that's because there are people who aren't religious. Right. And they're just like, this is annoying. I just want to watch some people play ball. And Tebow could play ball.
Okay. But even when you bring Tebow into that and his kneeling and praying, you know how many people do that?
Oh, 100%.
Baker Mayfield does it every time he comes out on the field. He come out on the field, he goes all the way to the end zone, gets down on one knee, does his silent prayer, gets it. Now, I get it. Tebow did it every time he got a first down. But, I mean, every time he took a snap, oh, yes.
Well, and when Tebow did it, it wasn't as popular as it is now. And it was just a thing. And I think it was because he was such a good person and a good human being that people didn't like that. They felt like if you're a quarterback at Florida, there's got to be some skeletons, because I was in that same camp. Mm-hmm. And then now you're a quarterback for the Broncos and you got nothing. You're just a good guy. people just can't relate to it. So they hated on him for something stupid. They hated on him for something stupid because they just couldn't believe that he's a quarterback and he's just a really good dude.
I would say that there was nothing for him, no trouble for him to get into in Denver, but there was a lot for him to get into in Florida. And he definitely stayed out of a lot of it. I was waiting for a story to break. That's just like, because, you know, somebody was digging for it and they couldn't find it. But
yeah.
Hey, appreciate you guys hanging out with us, man. Do us a favor. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. We will watch Ready to Love. Terrell's already started last week's episode. We'll watch this week's episode and we'll do you know, episodes 1 and 2 together or whatever number this is. I don't even know where we left off last time. What number is this?
I think it's 10 and 11.
Oh,
that we'll be doing.
Okay, so we'll watch episode 10 and 11. We'll do that and we'll pick up. We may have to double up on these episodes just so we can get through because, you know, we've got Love is Blind UK coming up soon. Looking forward to that. At least that's only going to be for a couple of weeks. And then, of course, King's Court with your guy, Tyson Beckford.
Yeah. Mr. Looking for Mr. Ready to Love.
Again, he was on the wrong show.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at the RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit via internet. We may talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.